There's a flurry of calls before and after the shooting. There's contact on the, before they get there. Then afterwards, Witham and Piers are in touch with Niall Barry and Sean Zeiss.
This pointed to all four being in constant communication on the night of the murder. Messages on an encrypted communications app on Barry's phone would seal their fate.
Police were able to link him to an EncroChat handle or a username called BetterTrunk, which they showed was in contact with other EncroChat users about firearms, about drugs. And most pertinently in this case, Niall Barry had discussed a scope, which is short for a scorpion submachine gun, the exact kind of weapon that was used to kill Ashley Dale.
All four were charged with the murder of Ashley Dale and conspiracy to murder Lee Harrison, Ashley's boyfriend.
Her family arrived at court today at the start of a trial, which is expected to last for 2 months.
They all pleaded not guilty, putting Ashley's family through a full trial.
Seeing them every single day, and then when they took the stand as well, listening to the lies, you know, to save their own skin and what they'd done, and that was difficult because we all knew they'd done it. No remorse, nothing for us, no remorse for Ashley, no respect.
Witham has admitted manslaughter but denies murder.
He told the jury that when he went into the house, he didn't see Ashley Dale, he didn't know that he'd shot at anyone, he just pulled the trigger and fired a load of shots and left. He said he didn't realise that he'd even hurt anyone until afterwards.
But it was Andre Horn's firearms analysis that proved pivotal.
The prosecution asked Mr. Horn what he thought had happened. He said, "My explanation is that she moved towards her only escape, the rear door, and the shooter followed the same route and fired shots in the direction that Ashley was attempting to escape."
Andre Horn's evidence proved that James Witham had to have chased the Ashley Dale through her house to where she was found and where she'd been struck. That showed that he had murderous intent.
The jury retired for deliberations.
I was really, really anxious. What's going to happen? Am I going to cope with it?
After just over 9 hours, the jury returned. It was a tense moment for everyone.
They came to the verdict that Niall Barry had ordered the shooting of Ashley Dale. He was found guilty of murder, conspiracy to murder and related charges. Sean Zeiss also found guilty of murder, conspiracy to murder. And Witham and Piers were also convicted of murder as well.
All four suspects received life sentences between 41 and 47 years before they could even apply for parole.
We were quite shocked, but happy, like really, really happy, because they're never going to get out. And Andre took the stand. He was able to pinpoint where James Witham was standing. It really did help.
Without my evidence, there would probably have been some doubt in the jury's mind as to the intentions of the shooter. And that is why this case stood out for me.
I'm not the same person anymore. Like, that night when Ashley died, I'd say the old Julie died as well.
Every year, historic cold cases are solved using new forensic science, but success is often not straightforward. In our next case, a forensic scientist is faced with finding a suspect's DNA when all the original exhibits have been destroyed.
Bracknell, Berkshire, the 11th of September, 1986. A 3-year-old girl is playing outside with a friend when she's abducted.
She was lured into a van as she played with a friend outside a block of flats. After the attack, she was dumped nearby and found crying in the street.
Nikki Mitchell, Home Affairs correspondent for BBC South, reported the case.
This was a horrific attack on a vulnerable 3-year-old child who was just playing outside with a friend.
A stranger approached the two, asking them for help with his car.
Her friend ran off and said she wasn't allowed to talk to strangers. But unfortunately, the 3-year-old did go with him. He lured her into a camper van and then he got in the back with her. Obviously, she thought she was helping him and he was a nice man, but actually he attacked her, sexually assaulted her in the back of that camper van.
The man brought her to a local shop, gave her money to buy sweets, and drove away. Thames Valley Police immediately launched an investigation into the serious assault. Fibres, hairs, and other samples found on the victim's clothes were sent for examination, but in 1986, forensic techniques were limited.
They analysed them as best they could, but obviously, you know, DNA profiling wasn't a thing back then. So they would have kept all of that evidence. There were witness statements, but they just hit dead end after dead end after dead end.
The police made public appeals for information.
We'd like to hear from people who were in the area of the Holbeck flats where this little girl was playing at about 6 p.m. last night.
But the young girl's attacker seemed to have vanished, and the case went cold for the next 20 years.
Without the scientific breakthroughs we've had since, they were handicapped and, you know, massive disappointment that one of the most high-profile cases that Thames Valley Police had at that time, they couldn't solve.
But police remained determined to catch the attacker, and in 2008, the Major Crime Review team reopened the case, this time with the help of modern forensics and scientist Andrew Parry. He specialises in cold cases involving murder or sexual assault.
And it was about the time that most police forces were starting to look at their undetected cases. This was primarily due to the advances in DNA technology. So over the years, the technique had improved and we could get DNA profiles from smaller and smaller samples.
Andrew was given a case file which included a report written 22 years previously by the original forensic scientist. It offered a possible line of inquiry.
He had noted that there was body fluid staining on the undergarment worn by the victim.
Andrew hoped to retrieve a DNA sample from the clothing, something impossible back in 1986. But when he contacted the National Archive to retrieve the evidence, there was bad news.
There were no actual exhibits retained from the victim. It was not unusual for items to be returned to the victim or to be destroyed.
However, one single piece of adhesive tape used to lift trace evidence from the victim's clothes had survived.
This is a typical tape-in. It's a piece of sellotape that's stuck down onto a clear acetate sheet. We had to fully concentrate on that sample and try to get a DNA profile from that. And if it didn't work, we had no other samples to go to.
The taping now became their only hope.
This is not the way we would normally recover biological material from an item. We would normally cut out the stain and extract that for DNA. So this makes it quite difficult to get a DNA profile from the sample. In order to recover the material that we're interested in, we cut up the tape into small pieces in order to remove any cellular material that may be present on the adhesive side of the tape. It's likely that only a small amount of material would be transferred to the tape-in. We'd have to get the material off the tape-in, and we only had one shot at it. We only had one tape-in, and that's all we could analyse in this case.
The next step was to extract any microscopic traces of biological evidence.
We take a moist cotton swab and rub that against the surface of the tape and the acetate. So we're trying to recover as much material as we can from the adhesive side of the tape. That sample is then processed using DNA profiling analysis.
Incredibly, Andrew successfully extracted a tiny amount of DNA.
So what we obtained from this sample was a mixed DNA profile. There was a high-level male DNA component, and there was also some lower-level DNA. I requested that we get a DNA profile from the victim herself. We compared it to the result and found that she was present at a low level. So we were now left with this prominent male DNA profile in the sample.
This was the first major breakthrough in two decades.
This was very exciting to get such a strong male profile in the sample because this potentially could lead us to identifying the offender.
By now, in 2008, a huge national database had been established, holding millions of DNA profiles.
They knew there were likely to be other victims, and if other victims had come forward, then they may be able to get a hit on the DNA database.
We loaded this profile against the national DNA database, but we got no matches. This could indicate that he has not been arrested in relation to any crime, or if he was involved in any crime, then no DNA profile was obtained.
The attacker was still evading justice. But with his profile now on the national database, detectives were confident he would one day be caught.
We knew that the DNA profile would sit there waiting, and in the event that that offender is arrested or involved in any other crime, it's likely that a sample will be taken from him.
They ran the DNA through every single year. No match, no match, no match, no match. Until, ping, the email into the inbox, bingo. The cold case team were, they couldn't believe it. Finally, they got a name.
Robert Frid lived in Farnborough, Hampshire. In September 2021, aged 76, he had been sentenced to 12 years in prison for a separate case of sexual offences against children. His DNA was taken and uploaded into the police database. That now clearly linked him to the 1986 attack in Bracknell.
The DNA evidence was in the order of a billion times more likely if the DNA originated from Robert Frid, rather than if it had come from some other unknown person.
Frid was in jail when he was interviewed by the Thames Valley cold case team.
Did you have any connections to Bracknell at all?
No comment.
He refused to cooperate, but the DNA evidence against him was solid. And at Reading Crown Court in January 2023, he pleaded guilty to the kidnap and sexual assault of the girl in 1986.
A serial paedophile has been sentenced to another 10 years in prison for kidnapping a 3-year-old girl in Berkshire.
After Frid's conviction, Nikki interviewed the victim as an adult.
The memories from inside the van, it's as if I'm watching it happen to someone else.
A child's memory should be happy ones. And for her, she's just got this vivid video, you know, playing in her head. Every parent's worst nightmare.
The only reason that he's been brought to justice and convicted was because somebody spoke out. Therefore, he was arrested, he was charged. His DNA was then in the database and it matched the crime from 36 years ago.
It's very satisfying to eventually get a match to the DNA profile to help resolve the case, solve it for the police and solve it for the victim and their family.
In both of these cases, the turning point came from expert investigation. When the stakes are high, it's science and expertise that brings the truth into focus and ultimately helps deliver justice for the victims.
Catch the next episode now on iPlayer. Boost your mood with Bird Song and uplifting classical Radio 3 Breakfast. Listen anytime on BBC Sounds. And Albert Square is full of secrets. Get your drama fix on BBC iPlayer, the home of EastEnders. Watch now.
Turn it up, Norfolk.
North Norfolk.
Silence is golden.
Stop it.
Bronze at best.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Alan Partridge, and talking is what I do.
For those who don't have the webcam, it's a mock brass hand doing that. Yeah. Despite the way I look, I feel fine.
Dan!
FIFA! The bubble wrap!
More Alan than ever before. Watch now on BBC iPlayer.
Hello, Glastonbury, how are we doing?
Glastonbury might be taking a year off, but the music doesn't have to. Relive unforgettable performances with the best of Glastonbury. Watch on BBC iPlayer.
I'm on Sewing Bee.
I can't believe it.
Welcome to the Great British Sewing Bee.
Seamless.
12 contestants are about to take on some brand new challenges that could leave them a little frayed.
Exhausting work for me, this.
The Great British Sewing Bee starts Tuesday the 14th of July on BBC One and iPlayer.
Personal possessions from the late Professor Stephen Hawking in today's Bargain Hunt. A new episode on the way in an hour after a morning stroll with the experts.
Hello and welcome to the show. Now, when you're buying a property at auction, the buzzword is potential. But not everything needs a complete overhaul. Sometimes it's just a cosmetic upgrade. But one thing's for sure, there's plenty of variety on offer when you buy Under the Hammer. Whether you're in the room, online, or maybe bidding over the phone, auctions can be adrenaline-packed occasions. So, who held their nerve and bagged a property? Let's find out. In Kent, a new kitchen is on the menu at this two-bed mid-terrace.
Oh, my goodness me. This is grim. What can I say?
In Liverpool, Dion comes up with the winning ingredient at this commercial development.
Get this structure watertight and weatherproof.
And have I accidentally stumbled into a horror movie? Nope. It's just a two-bed semi in Norfolk.
Oh, my goodness.
All these properties have been sold at auction, and we'll find out who bought them and what they paid for them when they went under the hammer.
You bought it? Well done.
Our first stop is Kent and the town of Chatham. Nestled along the River Medway with easy access to the North Sea, the town was the ideal location for one of the Royal Navy's most important dockyards, founded in the mid-16th century. Nowadays, Chatham Dockyard is a museum housing many fascinating exhibits telling the story of Britain's seafaring history. But today, I'm setting a course for our first auction lot.
Well, the property I'm here to see is on this quiet estate. Now, the houses here are built around the 70s, but will the property I'm here to see be groovy? But one thing's for sure, the local train station will get you into London in under an hour. And here it is. It is a two-bed that went to auction with a guide price of £115,000. It looks a bit tired from the outside. Curb appeal is not quite there yet. Could you create off-street parking? Maybe you could. And a lot of the neighbouring properties have created porches, so that could be something that would add a little je ne sais quoi to this. Let's have a look inside. Wow. I thought it was going to be 70s groovy, but it's actually a little bit worse for wear. But quite a generous sized hallway, stairs leading up to the first floor. To my left is the kitchen. Oh my goodness me, this is grim, what can I say? Very dark, but obviously you've got sort of overgrown greenery here. But when I said about the porch, maybe you could do a double porch almost and create more space for the kitchen, look past the grime, and yeah, it could be quite generous and more light coming through, but obviously you might have to get a structural engineer in to make sure that's safe to do. Kitchen, nothing can be saved here. So, wow, look at this. Actually not a bad size. So your living space, yes, it needs a lot of TLC, and the only thing sort of 70s in here, probably the lights. Oh, and the curtains. But you have got central heating. As ever, get it checked by a gas certified engineer. But it's good that you've got that there. And you've got storage there. And I wonder if you could create maybe a downstairs loo. But it's this that's quite fascinating. I don't know whether I like it or not. You've got doors leading out to a very, very overgrown garden. I cannot even see to the end of it, but at least you've got a garden. Let's check out upstairs. Generous-sized staircase, actually. Really nice. Your landing, you've got all of your rooms off it. Two kind of equal-sized bedrooms. Your very 70s avocado bathroom. I mean, avocado's coming back, but not that. I think you need to get a new one. You do have an airing cupboard. That's always handy. I just want to see if I can get a good glimpse of the garden in this bedroom. Wow. I mean, that is seriously overgrown, but it's not a bad size. And as I say, both bedrooms are about the same size. One thing for sure in this property, all the windows need doing. In fact, everything needs doing. This property has potential, but you've got to do a lot of work to get there. Work hard, play right. Yes, while this house may be heavy on the 1970s features, it's light on the essentials for modern living. And that could be the case for the electrics and heating system too, which should be checked by professionals before work begins. But is there more to uncover outside? Well, I've come to the back of the property. I thought maybe I could get access, but I can't. But there is rear access, actually, which is always handy. Another bonus is this house comes with a garage. Yes, you could use it for parking, which is great, but also you could use it for storage. But a word of caution, as with all garages, and certainly ones built back in the 70s, there could be a chance of asbestos, so get it checked out by the professionals. But hey, this could add a few quid to the property. And on that note, I think it's time we heard from a local estate agent. What are his thoughts on this two-bed mid-terrace guided at £115,000?
So the work that we needed to be done is mainly the windows and a general redecoration throughout, including a redecoration of the kitchen and the bathroom. If possible, you could include a ground floor WC. That would be a really good selling point for the property because that's what a lot of buyers are looking for these days.
The agent thinks there's scope to add a ground floor extension, but believes this would only increase the value by 10 to 15 grand. So, with its current footprint, and once renovation works are complete, what could the returns be?
I would expect the sale price to be £270,000, and on the rental market to put it on for £1,300 per calendar month.
Well, this house isn't showing itself off to its best at the moment. It's dated, it's dingy, and it's long overdue for a full refurbishment. In fact, everything needs doing here, from top to bottom. But there is the potential to add more space to the front and to the back, and a little bit of jiggery-pokery. You could even add a downstairs loo. So, who fancied this two-bed? Let's find out when it went under the hammer.
This lot was part of a remote auction with bids taking place online.
Sold.
The successful bid of £184,000 was made by friends Ben and Naz. Ben already has 10 property renovations under his belt, while this will be Naz's third project and their very first one together. I met them to chat through their plans.
Naz, Ben, lovely to meet you both.
Lovely to meet you.
Good to meet you too.
Congratulations. It's a house that's got potential. Why did you go for this one?
When we did the viewings, one of the things that we observed, apart from the house itself, was the neighbourhood.
Yeah, it's a nice residential area where we can do a quick flip and hopefully make a healthy profit on it. So that's okay. Why we went for it, really.
But also I looked at the interest of other viewers, so, and just listening out to what people were saying, and you could see there was a lot of appetite and positive sentiment on the property. So
at least you visited the property before the auction.
Yes.
Did you read the legal pack?
Yes. Read the legal pack, but more importantly, got the support of a solicitor to do a proper review of the legal pack, because, you know, those are some of the things where you can get burnt if you haven't done a thorough review of the legal pack. So
absolutely. This is your first renovation together.
Correct.
But is that what you do individually? What is it you both do individually now?
So, day job, I'm an accountant.
Very good.
Yeah.
No, I work in investment management. I work for a fund manager in the city. So I've done quite a few renovations in the past. So I've got stuff in various parts of the country. But, you know, we felt like opportunity of doing stuff together and hopefully doing bigger things in the future. So
Yeah. Start
with something small and then...
Oh, that's so good. So your first venture together, but you've got, experience anyway. So what is the plan?
We want to obviously do a complete renovation of the property, so top to bottom. And we're very keen to go for something that's going to sell quickly, which means the quality of the finish has to be top-notch. What we want to do is possibly expand the current footprint of the kitchen so that there's a bit more space in the kitchen, so this wall is likely to come forward and bring it in line with the other wall to the what's going to be a downstairs toilet.
Oh, very good, because I was thinking that could be really good.
There is good space in there, correct. Yes. So a downstairs toilet. Again, hopefully that should add to the value of the property.
Mm.
Definitely going to clear out the garden for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Probably make it low maintenance, probably put down some paving.
Mm.
I don't think we're going to extend this specific project.
So you're not going to go to add a conservatory or anything?
We're going to keep the original structure apart from extending the kitchen out and adding in the toilet. Everything else will stay the same.
Right.
Just make it nice again and hopefully you'll make a nice family home.
What is the look? Give me the aesthetics.
So for me, I think you keep it very neutral because whatever you do, people are going to change it when they move in. So I think it's best to have a blank canvas. So probably going to do white throughout. Same with like the bathroom, white suite.
So very sort of bright and neutral.
And just, I think just quality effects, spotlights in the ceiling, excellent quality carpets, wood flooring on the floor.
Right. When it comes to the work for this property, who is going to do the work?
So actually, it's going to be my builder that did my previous renovation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So we got him round. I know his work. I know his work ethic. Can be trusted. So, we're going with my builder.
Okay. And what's your builder's name?
His name's Rob.
Rob.
And then things with the more specifics like electrical plumbing, we will get obviously certified electricians, gas safety
engineers
in for that work. But he obviously has his network that he will
use. Exactly. Is there anyone else involved in the duo?
Yeah, there's another friend of ours, Femi, who unfortunately can't be here today.
Okay.
He's also investing a bit in the project.
I think that's great. It's a great trio then, which is good. And what about that all-important budget? How much have you put aside for this?
At the moment, we've estimated in the region of £40,000 to £50,000 for the renovation work.
And what about timescale? How soon do you want this on the market, ready to sell?
I would say between 3 and 4 months. This should be achievable.
Should be done 3 to 4 months. Look, I think it's fallen into safe hands. I really do. And I think it deserves to be, sort of brought back to life. So I wish you both the very best of luck. I really do. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, although Ben and Naz have plenty of property renovation experience behind them, this is their first project together, along with business partner Femi. Now, they don't seem daunted by what could be a challenging renovation. They seem to have everything in place. They've got their builder, they've got the trades, they've got their plans. They know exactly what they want. So, will it all go according to plan? You can find out later in the show.
We're heading to Liverpool in Merseyside, where back in the summer of 2023, Dion checked out an auction lot that was a bit out of the ordinary.
I am in the centre of Liverpool now. I am reliably informed that today's lot is a bit of a shell. It's over 5 floors and it's massive. That's all I can tell you. No, one other thing. It went to auction with a guide price of £350,000 plus. That says to me, crack on, Dublin. I walk along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you. And I ran, and I'm so far away.
But Before Dion could get started, he had to switch to proper building site attire. And
safety first, safety first. You know the drill. This place is absolutely huge. 5 floors. Planning permission has obviously been passed. I can see drainage and I can see some footings as well. What can you do with a structure like this? It could be loads of things. It could be apartments, flats. It could be commercial. There could be a business on every floor here. It could be a hotel. It could be so many things. It's my sweet
beginning. The possibilities for its uses seemed endless. At a first glance, I would have guessed something commercial, given its location. But it was impossible to tell without doing a bit of homework. And thankfully, Dion had done just that.
Do you know what it's going to be? Well, I've had a bit of a heads up. I know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be student accommodation. And why wouldn't it be? The location is absolutely perfect. John Moores and Liverpool University is close by. It's going to be 44 separate units over 5 floors. Oh, yes, and that's not all. There's going to be 5 shared kitchens, bike storage in the basement, and loads of communal areas. Student accommodation is getting very posh.
The plans were for it to be high-end accommodation, so each double bedroom would have an ensuite as well as a desk area to study. All this right in the city centre.
Right, it's clear to see there's loads of work that needs to be done here. First thing you have to do is get this structure watertight and weatherproof. And then you can think about your insulation and your first fix electrics and plumbing before you get the wall chart out, obviously. This is a project, in my opinion, for somebody that's got a bit of experience in doing something like this before, with a good team, with a decent sized budget. And then you can think about lifting the paddle up and saying, I'll have a go.
This wasn't a project for the faint-hearted, as building on such a vast scale would be no small feat. While planning was in place and the steel work had begun, all the work done by the previous developer needed to be checked and signed off by building control before work could progress and the structure could start resembling an actual building. We brought in a local estate agent to see if he thought it was wise to invest a lot of money in what currently resembled a 5-storey climbing frame.
So basically what's happened here is that the property's been around for 2-3 years. Nothing's really been done. It's got bags of potential. This is a real strong student accommodation area, and this would lend itself to some great yields and some good potential business for the owner. It's just a question of the next part of the development, hopefully of a great spec, which is really important.
And if the buyer were to splash a considerable amount of cash on completing this 44-unit, 5-storey project, what kind of returns could they expect for each room?
What you're looking at is approximately £100 per week, which equates to just over £400 per month. If you times that by 44, then you're looking at over £200,000 per year.
So there could be significant returns if a buyer held on to the development. But could a healthy profit have been made on the sales market?
Looking at the sales price on this particular place on completion, the owner should be looking at in the region of £3 million.
This is a massive project, but there are a couple of things in place for you already, the structure and the planning permission, but you're miles off 44 student lets. There's a lot of money that needs to be spent here, but I think some decent yields to be had. Let's see what happened when it went under the hammer.
This lot was sold at a remote property auction with bids taking place online.
Sold. Congratulations.
The development was bought with a successful bid of £506,000 made by Kieran, an experienced property developer and Liverpool local. Dion was eager to find out why he had decided to take on such a massive project.
Kieran, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Massive. What made you want to take on something like this?
Well, I've been doing property for about 12 years now, and I want a new challenge.
This one. You've got one?
Yeah. This could be the make or break me. I've done a few, like, big refurbs on, like, a few apartments and stuff, but, yeah, this is definitely my biggest.
And why? What made you want to take that step to this? Did you feel like you wanted to test yourself, or was it just something you wanted to do? Or
test myself. Also, my builder was... He does my refurbs, my small refurbs, and mentioned to me that this was going in auction. He'd worked on it before the developer went bust. So I took a bid on it. So hopefully he's right that it is a good site.
What's the first plan?
We're going to sit down with my architect, go through the drawings, so we're just going to make sure it all stacks up. So it's going to be 5 stories, 44 individual rooms with their own bathroom, and then each floor will have a shared kitchen and communal area.
That's going to look brilliant here, by the way, and yeah. What a location for it. Do you get involved yourself, or...?
I used to years ago, I was on site.
OK, so you will be the
project manager.
Project manager,
yeah.
the one in charge. People will look to you.
Yeah.
You'll have the red hard hat, everybody else will have yellow hard hats.
Yeah.
So.
That's it.
This site, then, where are you starting? What's the first thing you're going to have to do?
Probably clear the site out, secure it a lot better than it is at the moment, and check all the works that have been done already, steelworks, footings.
And what do you think are the biggest jobs?
I think getting the brickwork, getting the shell built, really, the roof on, brickwork, and then once we're inside, I find it a lot easier for me then.
Once you're in?
Yeah. Because I'm used to buying the refurbs, the basic houses. Okay. I'm normally buying stuff with the bricks and the steelwork done. Basically closing the envelope, and then we'll start on the works inside, electrics, plumbing, stud walls, fire safety.
OK.
Turning this skeleton into high-end student accommodation was set to test Kieran's property expertise. With around 40 tradespeople scheduled to work on the project, it was going to be his most complex and expensive property venture to date. With a budget of £1.2 million, he estimated it would take 12 months to complete. We returned 8 months later to check on progress. Work was in full swing after several weeks of investigation to check the integrity of the steel and the footings.
Because there was already a steel frame in place, we had to get warranties and guarantees and stuff off people, so we had to go out, get an inspector and make sure it was still safe to use.
And the steel wasn't the only thing that needed a clean bill of health.
So, yeah, all the drainage on site was already here. We had to connect up to the main drainage. Our main thing was checking there was no blockage in the old drainage system and making sure, because the last thing we want to do is build the property and end up with 44 block toilets.
Thankfully, there were no issues, so work had begun on fitting out the 5 levels. Kieran and his architect had made slight adjustments to some bedroom sizes and enhanced the building's fire safety. On site, the focus was on getting the building watertight, and Kieran remained determined to get the work finished before the start of the academic year.
In about 4 or 5 weeks' time, we should have all the stud walls up. The electrician and the plumber should have done all the first fix. All the windows will be going in and the bricklayers will be started. So on the externals, we're going to have concrete board at the moment. There'll be insulation on top of that and then brickwork. And obviously windows going all the way up the building. About 4 or 5 months in now, and we reckon it's probably another 4 or 5 months, maybe 6.
So the work was on schedule to finish within Kieran's 12-month timescale. But how was his budget holding up?
So our initial budget was £1.2 million. We've spent about £600,000. We are in budget, close, but we look like the £600,000 will get us over the line.
With half of his budget spent, he was hoping that the remaining 600 grand would be enough to get this massive project over the finish line, so he could then sell the entire building. Would this be the case for Kieran? Would his huge financial investment here pay off? And would the work be finished in time for the start of the academic year? Well, stay tuned and you can find out later in the show. Still to come, the buyer of this King's Lynn house has more than a spot of gardening to look forward to.
I'm not even going to attempt to do that. I'm going to get some professionals in.
And back in Liverpool, we'll find out if Kieran finally managed to complete his student accommodation. To head back to Chatham in Kent, where I saw a two-bed mid-terrace that came with a guide price of £115,000. The place looked like it hadn't been touched since the 70s, but it was more boogeyman than boogie down.
I thought it was going to be 70s groovy, but it's actually a little bit worse for wear. I mean, this is grim.
Undaunted by the mess, the successful bid of £184,000 was made by long-time friends and first-time business partners Ben and Naz, along with absent member of the trio, Femi.
Why did you go for this one?
When we did the viewings, one of the things that we observed, apart from the house itself, was the neighbourhood.
It is a nice residential area where we can do a quick flip and hopefully make a healthy profit on it. So that's why we went for it, really.
This will be a test run to see how the three members of this team work together. And they hope to have the work finished within 4 months on a budget of £40,000 to £50,000. Now we're back 4 months since our first visit to see how they got on.
So as you walk through the front door, the new layout is you have a open plan kitchen, which is larger than the original kitchen, which was in the property. And then to the right side under the stairs, you have got a powder room, downstairs toilet. And upstairs, the layout's exactly the same. You've got two double bedrooms.
In terms of the standard of finish, we've aimed to achieve a very high quality finish, making sure that we're doing plastering, it's extremely neat, it looks like a brand new build.
We've gone for something which isn't too clinical, so that it appeals to most individuals. It's not too personalised to our taste. So it's been a joint effort in terms of design. Ben chose the kitchen, I did the direction on the bathroom. We've gone for like white and grey marble. We've kind of gone for a similar theme so people can put their own stamp on it without having to redo the bathroom or the kitchen, for example, or the tile work. And also put in spotlights all around, upgraded the electrics as well, new boiler, new radiator, so pretty much a brand new house.
The inside looks as good as new, but were they able to boost the appearance of the outside of the property?
We had to do a full clear out of the back of the property. There was like a forest, got rid of the shrubs and trees and put some new fence panels up and just get the garden looking decent. Same to the front of the property as well. We've done a full change as well of the windows and the doors around the property, so made the outside look a lot more modern and clean.
I think it's safe to say that Ben, Naz and Femi, who couldn't make it here today, have made their first project together a success, creating a home that they would be happy to live in themselves. But did they stick with their original plan to use Naz's builder, Rob?
We looked at a couple of builders. Originally, we were looking at my builder and our business partner Femi actually had a recommendation. We ended up going with his builder just purely because he was able to do a lot more than the standard builder, things like the electrics and the plumbing work, whereas otherwise you'd have to hire different individuals. So we felt that was a real benefit and also would add speed to the project.
Employing a builder that can do various trades is a great find, but did having less people involved with the work help them to stay within their budget of £40,000 to £50,000?
Yep, that went out the window very quickly, I'm afraid. The budget that we set originally, I think overall cost of renovation is probably nearer the 70 grand mark. It was down to the cost of materials, largely.
So with their budget shooting up by 40%, they'll be happy they were right on target with their four-month timescale, with the labour itself only taking 10 weeks to complete. But even with the overspend, Ben and Naz are happy with the outcome.
People who have seen the before and the after pictures have been just wowed. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, wow, you guys are doing amazing things. And, so overall, I would say the objectives of the project have been met.
And also, just a shout out to our builder, really good attention to detail, really good finish. So that's what I'm really proud about.
With a total investment of £254,000, what sort of returns could this tremendous trio be looking at for their first development together? We asked along an expert from the auction house that sold the property for his thoughts and valuations.
So this is my personal first time to this property. Walking in here, very pleasantly surprised, because I did see the photos and the floor plan from when it was sold in the auction. They've done a great job refurbishing it. My favourite part of this property is probably the open plan living area downstairs. It's made a really nice modern living. I have seen that they've managed to get a downstairs toilet fitted in this property, which is really, you know, nice in this modern world that we live in. People don't want to keep traipsing up and down the stairs every time they want to go to the bathroom, especially if you've got guests.
The expert believes that if the property was put on the rental market, it could achieve £1,300 per calendar month, which equates to a healthy yield of 6%. But as this team are firmly set on selling, it's the sales figures that are of the most interest.
So now this property has been refurbished to a really good standard. If it's going to the open market, I'd expect it to achieve somewhere around £280,000.
£280,000 is slightly below what we were aiming for. We were actually aiming for about £290,000
yes.
as an asking price. And
that's our ideal situation.
Sure.
Obviously, we don't want it to sit on the market for too long. Mm-hmm. But yes, £290,000 is our ultimate goal.
Yeah.
The expert's figure would see them with a pre-tax profit of £26,000, rising to £36,000 if they can achieve their desired number. So, will this trio be back to tackle another property project now that this one is on the market?
When you're working with someone that one you're friends with, there's a level of trust and, you know, safety with, I think it's, you know, it's really good and I've enjoyed it. Don't know how you feel.
You know, this was a trial run and then the next one got everything lined up so we can move on to bigger and better.
Yeah.
Finally, we're off to Norfolk and the historic town of King's Lynn. A thriving hub of international trade during the medieval era, and similar to Chatham earlier, the town's location along the Great River Ouse allowed it direct access to the North Sea. With wool being one of its most valuable exports, the town's wealth and prominence soared. And by the 14th century, it was one of the four most important ports in England.
Well, I'm on this residential road just on the outskirts of King's Lynn. You've got local shops close by and good road links, so perfect for commuting. And I am here to see this 1980s two-bed semi that went to auction with a guide price of £80,000. Now, straight away, you can see what I see. It's really overgrown. Even this side access is filled with brambles. But the house itself looks pretty neat, actually. Let's take a look. Just look around. So stairs right in front of me, but then into what is the living room, but it is stuffed with stuff. But look past that, and it's not a bad size. You have got textured ceilings. I'd get that skimmed. You've got central heating. I can see it behind all those bags. Remember to get that checked as well. There's storage over here to my right, and then into the kitchen. OK, it's not the largest of kitchens, but actually, it's not bad. You've got plenty of work surface, cupboard space. Could you keep it? Possibly, if you wanted to save on a few quid, give it a tidy up, give it a clean, maybe paint the cupboard doors, perhaps, or completely get a new one. But this space, even for a dining table. Wow, that garden, I thought the front was bad. This, I've got to see. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. I have never seen brambles so thick, so dense, so high, so much in my life. How did it get like this? I mean, obviously, I'm not going out into the garden, am I? That is going to take some work to clear it. It really is. But maybe I'll get a good look at the garden from upstairs. This is like a horror film. Wow. So not only can we barely get moving inside, it's simply impossible outside. And upwards. Nice solid stairs, actually. So, up to the first floor. You've got your landing here that all the rooms come off of. Textured ceilings, actually, throughout. You've got your first bedroom facing the front. Not a bad size. Good enough for a double bed and storage, etc. I can see signs of damp in the corner there. Is that historical? Is it something to worry about? But get it checked out. But it could be because this place has been closed in for quite some time. Decent-sized bathroom, actually, but it definitely needs to be cleared out, made fresh and modern. There is a loft there. Might be handy for storage, actually. And then into your second bedroom. A bit like for like as the first bedroom. And there's enough space for your bed, for storage. Wow. It's a jungle out there. It really is. I mean, how did it get so bad? It is packed and thick, but what I can see is that the garden is a decent size. You know, once that's cleared, this would be a really lovely spot, and you could zone the areas because it is a bit of a funny shape, but really unusual. But you've got so much work to do there. You really, really have. When you're out here in this jungle, it's wild round here. You don't want to spend the night round here. When you're out here in this jungle. Yes, getting on top of this out-of-control garden will be a mammoth task for any would-be buyer. And in this case, it could also have contributed to some of the damp inside the property, if the overgrowth has prevented the gutters from being accessed and regularly cleared. But we would advise bringing in a damp specialist to investigate before work begins. So, what would a local estate agent make of this jam-packed property that came with a guide price of £80,000?
I think it's got really, really good potential. It's quite evident the property does need full renovation, so it would need a new kitchen, a new bathroom, maybe a bit of plastering throughout, but definitely some painting, some carpets, those sorts of things, and obviously the garden does need tending to also.
So once the necessary work has been carried out, what does the agent think the returns could be?
Once the property has undergone full renovation, I would recommend an advertised asking price of £160,000.
And if put on the rental market?
Once the property has undergone renovation, I would recommend an asking price in terms of rental of £900 to £950 per calendar month.
Well, if you look past all the stuff that's in this two-bed semi, then it might just be a case of a cosmetic refurbishment. But there's more. You have to spend a bit of money because first things first, you've got to clear out all the rubbish that's inside. You have to clear the front garden. you have to clear the back garden. That's going to take some amount of skips. Then you can get on with the decor, new kitchen, new bathroom, and full refurbishment throughout. So whoever gets their hands on this property will need to roll up their sleeves and get stuck in. Let's find out who that was when it went under the hammer. This lot was part of a remote auction with bids taking place online.
Sold.
And the successful bid of £90,000 was made by Dave, a banker turned property developer. He's joined today by son-in-law Ayanda, who will be helping with his latest project. I met with them to find out more. Dave, Ayanda,
yep.
Lovely to meet you both. And
you.
Can I just say, it's a full house, isn't it?
Never seen fuller.
Yeah, definitely.
But let's talk about the house. Why did you go for this house in this area?
I've been buying all my properties local to King's Lynn, and this one came up at a very good price. And it doesn't look like there's really much wrong with it, if you can see past.
Exactly.
The fully furnished look.
Yeah. Did you visit the property before the auction?
Yes,
did,
of course.
Yeah.
Did you come together?
Yes.
Yeah, did, yeah.
Was there more stuff?
Yes.
We've no already. Idea.
We didn't want to see you have to climb across a mountain of rubbish.
Yeah, thank you. And what about the legal pack? Did you read the legal pack?
Oh, of course, yes.
And any surprises there?
No. No.
So let's talk about your working relationship. Tell me about the relationship between you two. How does it start? Where is it going?
My son-in-law. I've also got a son in King's Lynn, and between them, they both work with me and help me.
Ayanda and your son. What's your son's name?
Daryl.
Daryl. Yeah. So you all work together as a collective.
Yeah.
Pretty oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And is that your background? Is that what you do? You sort of get stuck in, you're quite handy?
Yeah, just do whatever that needs doing, you know.
Yeah.
If it's within my, you know, capability, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And what about Daryl? What's Daryl's role in this in the trio?
He can do a bit of plastering. He's
okay.
Plumbing's his forte as well, although...
Yeah.
And what about your role?
I've fitted kitchens, bathrooms, tiling.
Not for manager.
And manager.
And manager, yeah, yeah. Very good. So the guys are learning from you as well. And so how many properties have you worked on together?
In the last 10 years, I think I bought 13 in total.
Oh, my goodness. So experienced property developer.
Yeah.
What is the plan for this place?
I'm just going to renovate it, make it look nice, and flip it, sell it on.
And you're going to sell it on?
Yes.
Okay. So what is it going to look like, you know, as we walk through the door?
Modern kitchen and bathroom, and everything will be just neutral, white. Plumbing's all right, but the boiler will get a gas-safe engineer to check. I'm hoping that it will just need a service, and because it doesn't look too bad.
Right.
But if it needs replacing, that's... it'll get replaced.
There's little bits of mould, but I'm not sure if that's sort of historical because the place has been closed in. But certainly at the back, I don't suppose anyone's been able to get to the guttering because of the garden.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Yeah. I mean, worst case, it'll be just gutters
filled
up.
The garden. that is sort of like the big sort of thing here. That's going to be the big brunt of the work.
It looks amazing, doesn't it?
It looks incredible.
Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to do that. I'm going to get some professionals in.
Some machinery.
Yes.
Because some of those brambles are really thick. And I mean, obviously, that's had so much time to grow.
It's surprising to find what's out there. It might be a shed, a jacuzzi.
A jacuzzi. Yeah, exactly.
Might be a car
in there. You never know. So how long is it going to be before this is ready to be sold?
Well, I won't really start any work on it for about 2 months. And then I think it'll take about 4 months. Cause only work a couple of days a week on it.
So 6 months from now.
6 months from now, it should be all ready to go.
And then what about budget? How much have you put aside for this?
I think we should get it done for less than 30,000.
Yeah. You know, it is a sound house.
Yeah.
And I think it's fallen into the right hands. I really do. Yes, and I wish you the very best of luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, Dave certainly has plenty of property experience under his belt. And with the help of his son, Daryl, and son-in-law, Ayanda, they don't seem fazed by this property. Yes, they've got to do a lot of clearing out, but they've got their plan, they've got their budget, and they've got their timescale, and they've got the trades in place. But I'm intrigued to find out, what will they find in the garden once it's cleared? You can find out later in the show. We're back in Liverpool, where in 2023, Dion uncovered a whopper of a lot with a guide price of £350,000. But its true potential wasn't exactly plain to see.
I've had a bit of a heads up. I know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be student accommodation.
This steel shell was set to transform into a towering five-storey hub with 44 ensuite bedrooms, shared kitchens and communal spaces. A daunting task, but one that didn't deter local developer Kieran, who paid £506,000 for what promised to be his biggest project yet.
I want a new challenge.